On that series, how to. Tonight, I want to tell you how to have a heart that's right with God. You know, a lot of people say they're saved, but you don't hear many people say that they're right with God anymore. But you can be. A lot of people settle for second best when they could have the best. Look at Psalm 37, verse 1 says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." See, there you can be right.
Amen.
Amen. And verse 7, "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do any evil, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." Amen. You know, to have a heart that's right with God is not natural. It's not natural. That's not our natural state, to have a heart that's right with God. Jeremiah 17:9, and you hear a lot of these people on TV and social media and all this, you know, and they talk about affairs of the heart and all about following your heart. And they use a new word now. They use your passion. What's your passion? Follow your passion. And what they're saying is what you love to do, what you love, follow that. That's your heart leading you. Well, Jeremiah 17:9 gives us a warning on that. The heart is deceitful above all things. You can't trust it. And desperately wicked. Who can know it? Nobody. Nobody. Oh, we've got the heart of Adam in us. The heart of Adam's pumping in our veins. And listen, it deceived him, and it deceived her, and it'll deceive you too. You can't have a heart that's right with God naturally, because the natural man understands not things of the spirit. So the natural heart is enmity with God, is an enemy of God. Because your natural heart wants what your flesh wants to please it. Your natural heart has no desire to please God. If you don't believe that, look at a 3-year-old child. Some of the greediest, meanest things you'll ever see in the world by a 3-year-old youngin. "That's mine!" You'll see my granddaughter, beautiful, red-headed, little old thin, beautiful thing. But if you get something that she wants, it don't matter if it's yours or not. If you get something, "That's mine!" She'll jump on her brothers. Her brother's about that tall. And one's about that tall. And she's about that tall. And I seen her do a flying meanie through the air the other day. That middle boy got something she wanted, and she said, "No, that's mine!" And she took a running start and dove on that boy and tackled him down to the floor and took it away from him. But you look at her. She's beautiful. How sweet. Yeah. Her heart is deceitfully wicked, just like yours. Amen. Amen. And she'll do whatever she's got to do to get what she wants until she gets born again. And the natural person is not, well, we're not naturally right with God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I done turned the air conditioner over, Brother Danny. If you're cold, it's his fault. If you're hot, it's his fault. I can't preach and do this at the same time. So It's up to you, Brother Danny. He said, I froze y'all out this morning. I quit. Galatians 5:16. I know there's two or three loved it, but most of you froze. Galatians 5:16. When I think of some of you folks, I think of that guy. I used to watch Batman Robin when I was a kid. Not the cartoon, the show. You know, wham, bam, boom, you know. Mr. Freeze. You remember Mr. Freeze? They couldn't get it cold enough for him. He had to wear a suit that circulated ice and frost to keep him cool enough. Some of y'all ought to get one, look into getting one of them suits. So the rest of us can live. Amen. Amen. Galatians 5:16 says this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the what?
Flesh.
Oh my goodness. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would do. You know, when I got saved, I became a schizophrenic. I got two personalities. One wants to do good and the other one's real bad.
That's right.
Amen. You got them too. What are you laughing about?
Yeah.
If you don't believe it, ask her husband. Or ask his wife. Yeah. Ask them. They'll tell you. But look, it's not natural to want to be right with God. The natural thing is man rebels against God. Man doesn't want anything to do with God because man is flesh. And since the spirit is dead in man because of sin, then they don't have the spirit to move the flesh. So you got to get born again to get the Holy Spirit to regenerate that spirit so that the spirit can overpower the flesh. So it's not natural to want to be right with God. That's natural to want to go to heaven. So whenever God wants us to be saved, he entices us with heaven because he knows the flesh would love heaven. So he appeals to our fleshly side. Y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
In order to get you to turn to him so he can renew your spirit. Because he can't get your spirit. It's dead. So he's got to speak to your greed or your covetousness of wanting to go to heaven when you die. He's got to entice you with heaven so he can get you to the foot of the cross where he can regenerate your heart and your soul and your mind.
Amen.
Y'all write that down somewhere. That was good.
Yes, sir. It's
been a long time since I said that, but that was. So it's not natural for a man to want or a woman to want to be right with God. Sometimes you ever look at your kid and say, I don't know what's wrong with her.
Right.
Well, I do. She's got a sinful heart. She needs a regeneration. Amen? Now, so, if we're going to get right with God, here's how to. Psalm 37 tells us. Look at Psalm 37 again, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to give you a Mercedes or a new BMW or whatever it is y'all think is great to drive, Cadillac, Chevrolet, Ford, whatever. I would take one of those Chrysler Hellcats. I know it's a bad word, but I'd still love to have that car. But I'd rename it. I'd name it Heaven Kitten. 600 horsepower. 600 horsepower. But look, if we're going to get right with God and our heart's going to get right with God, the first thing we've got to do as Christians, now if you're not a Christian, you can't get right with God till you get reborn. But as Christians, if we're going to have a heart that's right with God, we're going to have to decide to delight ourselves in him more than anything else. More than anything else. When you start delighting yourself in him, it's not a problem to bend to the will of God.
Right.
Matter of fact, when you get your heart right with him, he'll make that a delight in your heart.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he will even put it in your heart
Amen.
To want to bend your will and mold and make you into something else. And that is what's called giving you the desires of your heart. It's not that he's going to give you, like the PTL Club said, or Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin or Schrombecker or whatever the latest crazy thing is on television. He's not Santa Claus. He's not going to give you everything you want. He's going to put desires in you.
Yes.
He's going to give you desires. Now, so when you get saved, you know what your number one desire becomes? You want to be right with God. At any cost. Now, listen, you got to resist that desire not to get right with God. It's not like you got to work to get right with God because you're already headed in that direction when you got saved. If you don't get right with God and stay right with God, it's because you have resisted the desire that he's already put in your heart to be right with God. And that's why it makes us miserable.
Yep. There you go.
You ever heard this? Boy, I could have had that. As you get older, you hear that a whole lot more.
Yeah.
Boy, I could have had that. Amen. And a lot of Christians, as they get on in their life and they get out of the will of God, they don't get right with God, they don't stay right with God, they look back on their life and other Christians' lives and they'll say, I could have had that. I could have had that family. I could have had that calling. I could have had that wife or that husband or those children. I could have had that ability to serve God. I could have had that happiness. I could have had that peace. I could have had that joy. I could have had that if I'd have just did what he put in my heart in the first place, the desires of my heart, if I'd obeyed them. So, the source of all joy, Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. You see that? That's not where you're going to get your joy, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as green herb. We've seen them come and go. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You want real joy. That's how you get it.
Yes.
That's how you get right with God. When you get right with God, it gives you joy. It gives you peace. It gives you comfort. And so, if you're gonna be thoroughly right with God, how to do it is delight in the Lord. What did he say? He said, you're gonna have to love me more than you do your mother and father,
yes,
your husband, your wife,
yes,
your children. You're gonna have to love me more than anything else. Well, when we get saved, when we receive Christ, he puts that in our heart. And if we don't do that, we're out of the will of God and we're not, our heart's not right with God. Did he not make it right when he saved us? Sure he did. He gave us a new heart. So not to do the desires of the Lord and not to delight in the Lord is to be out of the will of God. Because that's what he put in our heart. And that's where we get our joy. Some of y'all looking at me like Presbyterians. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? Amen. I preached at jail and got better results than that. Amen. Amen. Many times. By the way, I used to worry about messing up at the jail. And then one day my pastor told me, said, boy, don't worry about that. Those people ain't never read the Bible. How they going to know? Amen. If we're going to have a right heart, be right with God, we're going to have to make those desires of our heart our main thing. In other words, being a good Christian. After you got saved, your main thing was not to make a lot of money anymore. It was not to have the biggest house. I ain't against money or a big house. If you got one, thank God for it, but that shouldn't be your goal. That'll be a byproduct. It shouldn't be to be the most famous girl on Snapchat or the most famous boy on, what's that? Not, huh? What? Instagram. That's it. Instagram. It shouldn't have to be the most famous on Facebook, have the most likes, the most friends. And listen, what ought to give us joy is for let him put desires in our heart, and that will make us a good Christian. Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first. First. Did he say first?
Yes.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That means getting right with God.
Right.
And his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto thee. And look, those things are what are needs. They're not what you have to have. Here's what we need. I need something to eat. God supplied my need today. Matter of fact, y'all look like a chicken graveyard. Every one of you ate dead chicken today. And, but I need something to eat. I gotta have it. He supplies. Listen. I need a place to live. He gave me a roof over my head. I need that. Amen. I need clothes to wear. He put clothes on me. Amen. I need a wife to keep me straight. He gave me a good one. Amen. I need children to keep my heart stirred, to give me good ones. I need a church to preach to so I can remember what he does for me. I can just share it for you, see. But that doesn't mean desires. That means needs. Now, he might have gave you a little more than he gave me, but I'm not going to hate you for that. I'll say, praise God. Amen. Got him a new car. You ever been at church and somebody come in and say, did you see so-and-so got that new car? Brand new. Brand new, still smell like brand new.
Yes.
You can buy that smell in the spray. Wonder how they done that. Well, you ever thought it might just be that they've been obedient to God and God blessed them with a new car? Amen. I'm not going to hate anybody for that. Amen. And I don't even know how old mine is. I think mine's 10 years old now. But I'll tell you this. I'm not worried about my car. When I need another one, he'll give me another.
Amen.
And you say, oh, he gives you another. He'll give me the money to buy it.
Yeah.
Amen. And you ain't seen the cars I used to drive.
Right.
You saw the ones I used to. Well, I didn't really drive them. I pushed them and pumped them and primed them and pleaded over them and prayed over them. 10 years old, that's doing good. Amen. Amen. Look. Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 19. In verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where the thieves do not break through nor steal. Why? Here's the heart again. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What we need to do, we need to let Jesus pick what we need. Amen? And then let him lay up stuff for us in heaven instead of us trying to figure this thing out. Amen? Now the Bible says if a man don't work, he ought not eat. I agree with that. Don't you agree with that?
Amen.
Unless he's disabled, the man don't work, he ought not eat. We were down in Atlanta. I probably told y'all this story, but it's good and it fits in real good right here, so I'm going to tell it again. But we were down there in Atlanta, and my daughter Suzanne took us to the old Sears distribution building right in the center of Atlanta. Huge, gigantic, covered blocks and blocks and blocks. Looks like an old cotton mill. You know, those old cotton mills had big windows all in them, you know. And this thing, what was 7 stories high? It was about 6 or 7 stories high. I mean, it covered huge, unbelievable space. And it had shut down because, you know, over the years, Sears quit using it. And it just stood for years and years. And somebody bought it. And they put retail things in there, you know. It really didn't change anything. They just went there and built little sections and stuff to put little stores and restaurants. And don't go in there and look for nothing to eat. There ain't nothing in there. But we'd walked up the stairs, them old steel steps, you know, and we went up and went to another floor because that's where the restrooms were. And I went and came back out and I'm standing out there. Is this thing on? And I'm leaning on the rail over there, you know, looking dumb. And there's so many people in the middle of Atlanta, you know, there's thousands of people inside this place. Strange people. But I'm standing there minding my own business, and my wife and Suzanne them's in the restroom, and this fellow comes upstairs. He looks at me and says,
He mumbled something. I thought, well, I'm glad I didn't hear. And he walked on by, and then he walked over there to this drink machine or something, and on the wall. And while he's doing that, he said, I said, what? He said, you look like somebody I know. I said, no, I don't. He said, yeah, you look like somebody I know, somebody famous. I said, no, I'm not anybody famous. He said, but I know you. I said, no, you don't know me. He said, what's your name? I said, my name's Ron Roddy. He said, no, that ain't it. I said, yes, that is it. That's been it for 65 years. That ain't it. Who does he think he is? And but it's kind of weird, you know. And about that tall, healthy man, probably about 50 years old or younger. And he starts talking to me. Well, you sure look familiar. You must have that face that's real familiar. People, I said, I get that everywhere I go. And thank you. He said, well, let me ask you something. I said, sure. He said, could I have $8 to eat on? And it just struck me. I mean, I'm just reading that this morning, 3%, 2.5% unemployment. Do you realize 2.5% of people in America are handicapped and not able to work? So everybody that can work can get a job now.
Yeah, right.
And I looked at him and I kind of grinned. And I've never done this before. I got smart, Elliot, with a bum. I said, that's funny. He said, what's that? I said, that's funny that you would ask me for money to eat on when this is the lowest unemployment rate in my lifetime right now. He said, that's funny. I said, that's funny. And then they came out of the bathroom and we walked off. We was walking down those stairs. He said, it's the lowest in my lifetime too. I said, that's what I'm talking about. But he didn't have a job. Amen. Now let me tell you something. If that man gets his heart right, he wouldn't have to be a beggar. God don't have any begging children. God takes care of his children. Amen. Now he may not give you everything you want, but he'll put desires in your heart that you ought to have those. And one of them, if you're an able-bodied man, that you'll go to work and feed your family and take care of everybody that you love. But listen, a wicked, unregenerated heart has desires of its own that are contrary to God. It's led by the flesh. Now, we as Christians, in order to be right with God, stay right with God, we let Jesus select our desires. I was riding. Back when I sold life insurance, I was riding with my manager one day. He lives in Chester. I'm not going to call his name because I'm sure somebody would know it. And he's a member of First Baptist in Chester. And he said, Ron, I've been thinking about this church thing. And our church at that time was about 10 years old. He said, I've been thinking about this church thing. You work so hard. He said, you're the hardest man I got, working man I got. And said, then you work for the church too, and I just been thinking about that. They don't pay you much. He said, you can make a whole lot more money if you just work, you know, just sold insurance. That's why I can't do that. He said, well, then you're going about this church thing wrong. I said, I am. He said, yeah. He said, you only got poor people in your church. He said, you're going after the wrong people. You need to go find you a church that's got a bunch of rich people in it so they could pay you better. And I looked at him. At first, I started just let, you know, the ignorant be ignorant still. But then it just come on me. I said, that's funny. I said, I'll tell you what. I almost called his name. I said, I'll tell you what. You're good at insurance. You're one of the best insurance men I ever met in my life. And you make a lot of money at selling insurance. You're good at it. I said, if I ever have a question about selling insurance, I'll ask you. I said, but you ain't got a clue about starting a church or building a church. I said, you ought to be asking me how to do it. I'm the one that's been doing it since 1982. You ain't never started the first one. You ain't never pastored one. You don't even preach. How would you know how to start a church and pastor a church? Shut up. You see, the unregenerate heart doesn't think like the regenerated heart does. Because God changes our desires. And I tell that story all the time that Bully Falkenberry used to say. He'd say, I drink all the liquor I want to. Yeah, I run around all I want to.
That's right.
He said, but I don't want to.
Amen.
He said, since I got saved, he changed my want to's.
Amen.
I just don't want to. It ain't that I can't or it's not available. I just don't want to.
Amen. Thank you.
Because, see, he changes the desires of your heart. Matthew 7:7. You know, if y'all wouldn't sing so much, you'd get out here early on Sunday night. Matthew 7:7. Look at it with me. Ask, and it shall be given you.
Yes.
Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And he goes on to explain that he's talking about God's children. He says, or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks him a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then being evil to know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Did you know that God not only selects our desires, but he wants to hear them? He wants you to ask him. I've heard people that don't know anything about scripture say this, well, I'm scared to pray for that. You ever heard anybody say that?
Yes, sir.
I've heard people say that. And I never say it to them, but I think this. Number one, you're biblically ignorant. And you can't help that. Maybe you can get that fixed. You can read the Bible. I said, but on the other hand, you don't know what you're saying because you're afraid to ask for what you want. Because you're afraid that God's going to get mad at you. And it's something other than a loaf of bread or a fish. You're going to ask for something that ain't good for you.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus not only gives us desires, but he wants us to ask for them.
Amen.
Now, here's some things. He will prompt these things. Psalm 37 again. And are y'all still with me?
Yes, sir.
You ain't mad at me, are you?
No.
Good. Psalm 37:1. Look at me. Verse 1 and 2, he says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Did you know that we get confidence out of being content with what God puts in our heart and being right with God? We get content, and that makes us, that makes us more faithful. And it makes us more real Christians by being content. Because here's what we're going to say, Brother Holroyd. They're on the top now, but there's coming a time when that guy's going to be on the bottom. And God's still going to be taking care of me. Now his house might be bigger, but there may come a day where he don't have a house. And God's promised to take care of me. And I'm content with what God's given me. And I'm not jealous of what he got because he got it wrongly to start with.
That's right.
Out of the will of God.
Amen.
I worked with a man at Duke Power when I was a young Christian in my 20s out here. That was scary. That's a nuclear plant. And I pulled wire through there. That don't scare you that Ronnie pulled wire through the nuclear plant and they hooked up switches and controls to it. It scares me. But I'll never forget, I worked with this young man, and He said he was a church member, nice, clean cut, intelligent young man, older than me. And they were talking about working on Sunday, and I said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not working on Sunday. He says, well, that's what my pastor says. You'll not work on Sunday. He said, but you and my pastor don't have to pay for my new house and my new car and my new boat. The real problem was he got the desires of his heart, but God didn't put him in there. And it got him out of church. It got him out of church. People get mad at me. I know they do, but if we will believe what he says, receive what he says, it'll give us confidence and we'll be content with whatsoever he gives us.
Yes.
Psalm 37:3, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land and verily shalt be fed. Now, the way you discover that is by living for Christ. You do good in the land. You do good in the land. That means where you live. You do right where you live. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, do right. Do right. Do right when everybody else is doing wrong. Do right. He said, do right if the stars fall. Do right. Well, I like that. Now, he said, if you'll do right in the land that God's given you, he'll take care of you. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging. God takes care of his children. If they do right. If they don't, Hebrews chapter 12 is coming and he's going to chase and you may not get something to eat. Last but not least, Psalm 37:5 and verse 7. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him and he shall bring it to pass. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord. And wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In other words, don't fret about those people. Don't worry about those people that get what they want through wickedness. He says, you rest in the Lord. You commit thy way to the Lord. And you know what happened? That delight will grow. The delight of our heart will grow. We can be right with God in our heart and in our lives if we'll just delight in the Lord and follow him and trust him and commit our way to him. And what'll happen? When you're in the will of God, you're a happy camper.
Amen.
I've never seen anybody backslid that's happy. Come on, some of you Christians, you've been around long enough to know what I'm talking about. Now, I've seen a bunch of them in the hospital. I've seen some of them down at the jailhouse. I've seen some tore up, like we used to say. But I've never seen a happy backslider.
Right.
But I've never seen an unhappy Christian that's delighting herself in the Lord, committed their way to him, and following him and trusting him, and he gives them the desires of their heart. They'll be happy. We don't have to be backslid. We don't have to be unhappy. We just need to trust him, follow him, commit to him, and let him put those desires in.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you, I've not always been happy, but I've always been content since I've been saved with what he gives me. And when I was unhappy, it's because I didn't follow him and I didn't commit to him, or I resisted him.
Yes.
And then he worked unhappiness in my life. There's a lot of Christians that needed to be here tonight that this would have helped.
Yes.
It would have helped them. And what's going to happen, see, they're out there chasing the world and things of the world, and they're going to crash. And they ain't going to hell, they're saved, but they're going to crash. And guess who they're going to call on? Those whose hearts are right with God. I've had people walk up to me on the job, every job I ever had, that would make fun of me in the crowd when there's five or six of them around, you know, tell a dirty joke and laugh at you or say something, you know, vile, you know, and just laugh, you know. But when they get in trouble, guess where they'd slip off to by themselves? The one that was right with God. All right, now that puts the burden on us too. They need somebody that they can go to. They need somebody. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? So, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Let's stand.